Let's be seated, if you would please. Let's go to Genesis chapter 45, would you? Just real quick, Genesis chapter 45, you've done a great job today. Thank you very much, senior class. I wish that, now we have other folks who are getting their one-year certificate, other folks are getting their associates, and a few others will get their master's. They're not able to be in here today, but I'm grateful for all of you. And I know that some of you who are even here a year, you've been a great testimony, and you've given your 13th year to the Lord, and I think that's a great idea. Anybody who had come from a Christian home and you've been exposed to Christ, I think it's the greatest idea to give your 13th year to the Lord and come to a place where you can learn, be stimulated in the things of God, and certainly appreciate many of you who've done that, even if this is your only time that you've come to Hiles Anderson. We're certainly glad that you have. We'll miss you, but we're certainly thankful for you, and I appreciate you doing that. For those of you who will continue on with us, my goodness, we need the leadership of the underclassmen, those folks who are stepped next man up, and you just met some quality people who left and who will be completing their degrees and going off into the harvest. And we need the junior class to step up and provide leadership, love, and example. And I hope that you'll take on those responsibilities with some fervor and some sobriety that will be helpful to the entire church and the student body of Hiles Anderson. Today, before you leave, I want to just impress in your heart one thought. And I said Genesis 46. Let's go to 45, if we can, please. Chapter 45. Joseph now has his brothers have come, and now they've had a breakdown, and he has exposed himself to them. When they came to see him in Egypt, obviously, the last time they had seen him, he had been 17 years old. Now, he is in his early, mid to late 30s. He has two boys that he has, Manasseh and Ephraim. He's married. He probably looks just like an Egyptian. He probably has his head shaved. He's the prime minister. Nothing is done in Egypt without Joseph's authority. He's been given some unbelievable authority there, and they're coming in with what they think the half the world's coming to Egypt, because in Egypt they had the secret of the famine, and so they reserved a tremendous amount of surplus. And so people are coming there, and they're getting all the money they can get. They're coming there to take back, and now his brothers have done that. They've gone once, they've come back, they've gone back again, because their kids are crying and saying, "We got to go." And their dad's saying, "No, I'm not going to let you go. I've already lost one boy. He's still there. He wants me to let Benjamin go. I'm not going to go." And the grandkids said, "Grandpa, we're hungry." And he realized he had to cave, and so he sent the brothers back into Egypt. There's a lot of dynamics, the like of which I don't think Hollywood could ever touch the drama that's in these verses here in the last part of Genesis. It's amazing. God gives two chapters to give us the story of creation, Genesis 1 and 2. In about four or five chapters, he tells us about the flood. But most of the book, the largest portion of Genesis is given to one man, that's Joseph. It's an amazing story. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being rejected by his own and still continuing on and being someone to provide and deliver. But now he's exposed himself and said, "I'm Joseph." He starts speaking their language. They're shocked. They're set back on their heel. They're fearful because now they thought they were dealing with the prime minister of Egypt, and they're dealing with their own little brother. Last time they saw him, they were sending him off in chains with the Amalekites and the Ishmaelites who are going to sell him into slavery. They have no idea what he's been through. And now he starts speaking to them in a language they're very familiar with. And they're just, if you ever met somebody who calls your name but you're not sure who they are and they act like they know you forever, if you can just imagine that person being, the last experience was a horrible one. But he doesn't come with anger because he knows that what they meant for evil, God meant for good. And he hugs them. And he especially goes over to his little brother Benjamin, whose mom died when Benjamin was born. And so he not only represents his little brother, he represents his memory of his mother. The last memory of his mother was whenever he was born. And he goes over and he hugs him and he embraces him. And he says, "I'm Joseph." And the people are nervous, and you know, probably like, what's he going to have? Is he going to stab me when he comes to hug me? Or what's going to happen? But they hug and embrace. He says, is Dad alive? They said, yeah, Dad's still alive. He said, you got to go get him. You got to go get him, and I want you to bring him back here to Egypt. He said, I've got a place I know that the Pharaoh will give me. It's called Goshen. It's one of the best places. When you come, tell them that you're shepherds. The Egyptians despise shepherds, and they'll be nice to you because they're nice to me. They love me. I'm a hero. He said, but they despise shepherds, so they'll give you your own place over there. He said, so go get Dad. Go get him. And he sent him, he gave him all new clothes, gave Benjamin 3 sets of clothes. He said, go get Dad. I'll wait for you here. And they went back, and they had nice clothes on, and I'm sure their kids, their wives, their family, and grandpa probably said, man, what happened? You break the bank or what? Because you're not getting. It's unbelievable. Joseph is alive. And he longs for us. He's alive. He wants us to come. He loves us. He began to tell him that he's the Lord. I mean, the guy runs Egypt, Dad. And boy, he told him all these things. And man, Joseph, by the way, all the things that Joseph was to his brothers, Jesus is to us. He's alive. He loves us. He's waiting for us to come to be with him. And then in addition to that, he's loaded. He's wealthy. My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. I mean, this guy's loaded. He's alive. He loves us. He wants us to come. He's the Lord. I mean, he's in charge. And they went back and told Dad. And they brought Dad back. But the last order of information that Joseph gave them, he said, guys, go back and get Dad. But he gives them some advice I want to give to you. And I don't care if you're a freshman. I don't care if you're a senior. I don't care if you're a faculty member. All of us need to get this advice. Pastor needs this advice. Let's look at it, chapter 45. And would you look at verse number 23. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things. He brought his dad gifts from Egypt. 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way, so he'd have food when he came back. Verse 24, read it with me, would you please? So he sent his brethren away, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out of the way. Young people, whoever you are, man or woman, young or old, experienced or inexperienced, freshman or senior, graduate student, I want to encourage you, make a decision that you'll not fall out of the way. There's nothing more discouraging to people who are in the way than for people who walked in the way who are out of the way. I have so many blessings in my life, but there's nothing that gives me the gut punch like seeing people that used to be in the way who have fallen out of the way. Doctrinally, they used to be pure. Now, they're drinking out of the sewage of Calvinism. They're drinking out of the sewage of other philosophies outside the Scriptures. People who used to be happy with holiness now want to be hip. Now they used to be happy with singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Now they want to have a snare drums, and they want to have a praise band, and they want to dress like they want to dress. People that used to be happy with, not bored with the basics of purity and prayer and personal soul winning and personal work, now have fallen out of the way. They used to would not sit and watch a movie that had questionable words and innuendos and themes, and now they say, oh, I handle all that. Oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that? No. They used to be glad to go to 3 services a week. Now they want to go to 1 celebration service, if they can get to that. They used to read their Bible, pray. They used to cherish the blessedness of a King James Bible. Amen. Now they just, which version do you want? I'll find a version that says what I want it to say, what I best explains to what I'm thinking, rather than let the Bible dictate what it says. I want to encourage you, young people. Some of you, as wonderful as you are, you got quitting on your mind. You're falling out of the way. You've already done it. You've done it in here. And but for the grace of God, you're going to do it out there. But let me tell you, there's a reason to stay in the way. And the reason to stay in the way, because there is a Joseph in your life. There is a Lord Jesus Christ, who just as his brothers found out, he's alive. And you're going to see him in just a few days. In just a few days, we're all going to stand for God. And we're going to stand for him in the way or out of the way. He's alive. He's the Lord. If there's a kingdom, he's the king. If he's a king, he ought to have loyal subjects that will do what he asks us to do. He said, no, look, when you come, be sure that you do not fall out of the way. Why? Because we have a living Lord. We have a loving Lord. He loves us. Ye are more than conquerors through him that loves you. He loves you. Why do you want to be victorious? Why can you be victorious? It's because you have a God who loves you. We said about it Sunday, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why would I let Christ live in me? Because the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. You have a God who loves you. He's Lord. He's living. And he is loaded. He can do anything. You know, God sent back, Joseph sent back to his dad. He wanted to show him just a sparkling of what he had for him. You're not having to worry about food. Don't worry about food. You'll have a lot of food while you're there and when you come. So I'm going to give you 10 donkeys here and 10 more donkeys, 20 donkeys carrying just stuff that you'll need for the way. Now I'll give you wagons so you don't have to worry about it. I'll give you wagons. We'll bring them back to you. You know what he showed Joseph? Just a little bit of what Joseph showed his dad, just a little bit of what he had in store for his dad. And God wants you and I to stay in the way. And may I say to you, there are people that need you to stay in the way. There are plenty of exits on the high road of holiness saying, exit here. Come over here. Do this right here. You don't have to do that. You don't have to serve God with your life. You can still have Christianity on your terms. You can still listen to your contemporary music and still walk with God. I always tell you, you can do that maybe for a while, not long, but you will fail to reproduce yourself with another person. There's things I can listen to in my own heart, but I'll hurt my kids. I'll hurt those that influence me because you cannot help but speak of the things that you've seen and you've heard. You can mess around with your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You can take liberties if you want to, but you're the one who's going to rip yourself off. You're the one who's going to hurt yourself long term. Falling out of the way. Joseph, his last things, he said, guys, look, I'm living, I'm Lord, I'm loaded. I've got everything you need. I want you. I love you. He says, so when you're going to get people to bring them back to me, don't fall out of the way. Decide in your heart, Lord, I don't want to quit. I do not want to take these exits. Keep me on the high road of holiness. Keep my mind pure, my thoughts pure. Keep my conversation, my texts, my emails. Keep my life clean on the inside, because you know, a quick way to be a casualty is just to live the Christian life casually. Just be casual. Just like, oh, I just want to hang out. I just want to chill. I just want to be a normal. You be casual, and you're going to be a step away from being a casualty. And falling out of the way is a very serious matter. And just if you'll take it from somebody who's still trying to be in the way. I'm 54, but there's no guarantee that I'll be on the way when I'm 55, unless I obey the same things I'm telling you. But I will tell you this, that we want to be faithful. We don't want to quit. We want to be faithful all the way. You can quote this after me. All of us, one more time, all of us, no, don't fall out of the way. Stay on the track and ask God to help you and protect you and help you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share just a few moments of admonition with some of the finest young people on the planet, in my opinion. We love them. You've made us friends. You've made us colleagues. Lord, not everybody is on the same page I'm sure this morning, some just to they've checked their box, they're graduating, or they've finished a year of Hiles Anderson, they've given you the college try, and now they've got other issues and other plans. I pray that God, because of who you are as a living, loving Lord, and waiting for us, longing for us, and for the sake of others who we want to bring to you, help us not to fall out of the way. I pray this for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the future of unsaved millions who need to have a chance to hear the gospel. Help us to stay in the way. We'll be so thankful and appreciative. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would raise your hand with me and say, God, I want to pray with you, Pastor. I want to stay in the way. Would you raise your hand with me? Amen. Let's put our hands down. Let's take our hearts to the Lord. God, say, please help me to stay in the way. If you're making small compromises now, stop. Small compromises lead to great, grievous sin. You can choose what you do, but you can't choose what happens when you do it. Once you decide, Lord, help me to stay in the way, not to fall out of the way. Our Father, thank you. Thanks for the privilege. I love you. Thank you very much for the joy to stand here with our friends today. Thank you for our sweet guests who come. Bless their visit. I pray you'd bless tomorrow night as we stand and at the church that started this college and praise you for the years of faithfulness. Then on Thursday, as we stand and look forward to what you will do in the next 50 years if you do not tarry and decide to bring your son. And then, Lord, as we graduate on Friday, I pray that, God, you would just be glorified in our testimony, in our conduct. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.